Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 262 of Nerd Pride Radio. 262, according to Wikipedia, 262 is currently the lowest integer to not have its own Wikipedia page. Gazoon tight. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me.
How are you doing today?
Gosh dang it, Dad. I am awesome! My name is Noah Jones, and I am a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like several other kinds of nerd that I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place where I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that won't fit into my skull anymore. Wait. You're wondering where Mike went? I gagged him. This is my show now, buddies. Anyway, so as always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride Radio studios in Snape's empty classroom.
Oh, so sad.
Wait, how did you escape?
I escaped.
Dang it.
I'm clever.
Yeah.
So, anywho, welcome to the show. This is Noah. I'm Mike. And this is the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. It's the time for me and Noah, where we talk about all the interesting things that we've stumbled across during the last week. Something tickles our nerd fancies during the course of our busy, busy weeks. And it has been really busy this week. Although, I suppose I say that a lot. It's busy all the time. We add it to our master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when we record. You lucky dogs. So straight into it. First up, it's our science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Okay, check it out. Noah, this is for you too. You gotta listen. In 1927, at the University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia. So 1927, this is 92 years ago? Yeah, 92 years ago. There was a professor named Thomas Parnell, and he wanted to demonstrate to his students that some substances that look like they're solid are actually extremely viscous liquids. So, he got some heated pitch. Pitch is like a really thick, tarry bitumen, I think, is the most common one. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But anyway, pitch is extremely thick. And so, he went ahead and he heated some up, and then he poured the heated liquid pitch into a funnel that had been sealed off at the bottom. And then he let it settle there for 3 years. And then after it had settled properly, he cut the bottom off of his funnel and then put a beaker underneath it. And then they just waited for the pitch to start running out of the funnel, forming drips that would drop into the beaker below. That was the whole plan. So 1930... when he actually cut the thing open and started it. Puts a glass bell over the top so the whole thing is sealed in. And now, 89 years later, Noah.
Yeah?
How many drops of pitch have fallen from that funnel into the beaker below?
I don't know. How many?
9. In 89 years. So on average, it takes about 10 years for it to slowly form a drop, and then for that drop to break off and fall into the beaker down below.
And does pitch normally, like, stay in a shape?
Yeah, pitch normally when pitch is used, it looks and acts mostly solid. I mean,
kind of like Jell-O, except thicker.
Yeah, imagine like road tar, where you can feel like road tar when they patch the cracks in the road, and it feels kind of soft in there, but it's not. So, yeah, it, like that. But yeah, pitch is just extremely thick, and like so thick that it takes 10 years for a drip of it to fall down. Now,
so my mom just asked, "What if it's a fast pitch?" And I'm gonna say that counts as a strike.
Ooh, that's good. You got two more left, Lisa. So, as it turns out, this experiment that's been going on for 89 years is the longest running continuous experiment in the world. There are some others, but they've had interruptions in the middle of them. There is actually someone just discovered on a shelf in, I think, a university in Dublin. Somebody just discovered a pitch experiment just like this one that was started in 1914. And then someone, you know, it just wound up getting put away. It's put on a back shelf. People have forgotten about it, just sat there gathering dust until it got uncovered. But that one, even though it supposedly started in 1914, used a much thicker batch of pitch, and apparently it has yet to form a full drop that has released. So, yeah, after 105 years, not even one drop. So, I just thought this thing sounded so cool. Also, strangely, no one has ever been in the room. No one has ever observed one of the drops of pitch falling off on this particular experiment in Brisbane. No one's ever been there. Like, you know, everyone knows, and you can watch it, and you can see, you know, as it's taking its 10, 12 years to build up, you can see that, you know, the drop forms, you can see when it's about to break. No one's ever actually watched it fall. This, despite the fact that several years ago, they put a webcam on this thing so that people could tune in and watch it at any time. And when the eighth drop fell, the webcam was malfunctioning at the time. And so therefore, even though they had a webcam on it, it malfunctioned. And so no one actually got to see it. There was no recording made of it. Nothing. So, and then with the ninth one, the professor who's in charge of it now screwed up because the ninth drop actually wound up touching the pile of drops below it before it broke off from the top one. So he went to go try and replace the beaker before they fused together. And he wound up accidentally knocking that drop off himself. So that one's wasted. But if you think watching grass grow is a little too exciting, paint drying just too much for your poor frail heart, go tune into their webcam and now you can just watch drops of pitch forming. That way more relaxing. All right, so now it's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you are very, very close. No, it turns out, this week, my kids were in a play. Noah, were you one of those kids?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the play?
Beauty and the Beast.
Sweet. And who were you?
Alright, I'm gonna give you one hint. In my mind, I would be locking up all of my brothers.
Okay. So that means you were the asylum keeper.
Yes.
And?
Extras.
Yes, many, many extras.
One, as one of the seniors would say, one of my extra characters was Egg Boy.
Yep.
Or as he would say, Egg Boy.
Yep. So he got to play a lot of parts, and he actually got to sing, he got to dance, and it was pretty fun. His brother, Eli, Elijah played Cogsworth, and was phenomenal. These guys were great. We had such a fun time watching this play. Beauty and the Beast is probably the best all-school play we've been to in forever. It was really good. I mean, look, we're always entertained, especially because it's our kids, and our kids are super talented, way better than yours. And we always, well, it's true, right? Tell them it's true, Noah. Exactly. Noah, one for outstanding seventh grader in the play. His brother Eli, one for outstanding freshman. So, pretty awesome. And this play was unusual. I mean, first off, the director they actually, you know, they paid all the licensing fees to get Beauty and the Beast, and they built a very huge, elaborate set, probably the most elaborate set we've ever had for a play at our school. And along with all of this, I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to go back and talk about this is even though we had the flooding that I talked about a while back, and that put off practices for a while, and there were some other interruptions. And strangely, they had no sophomores or juniors that went out for the play this year. So it was like 5 seniors, 7 freshmen, and then a bunch of junior high kids like Noah and his friends. And even a couple elementary school kids that showed up, and they did a really good job.
And
so.
One of them, it was an amazing actor. I will be glad when he's finally a 7th grader.
Yep. Yep. They just had some really good talent in this one. And so Eli and his friends, who are freshmen, got to play a lot of big roles. So it was, you know, they played Belle's dad, Cogsworth, Lumiere, Babette, the feather duster maid, and it was just really, God, I had such a good time. But mostly the reason I'm bringing it up is so I can brag on my kids and say, hey, they each won best in their class for acting. It was really awesome. So super cool. Was there anything else we needed to say to share about it?
Not really.
All right. Cool. I thought it was pretty cool. So, next up, that's right, that music means it's time for 5 links, which I don't have an intro written for yet, but essentially, the point of 5 links is I go out to Wikipedia.
Wait, Dad, I know what you could do for the music if you... I know you already have one, but I know one that could be good.
All right, what would have been your suggestion for music for 5 links?
You get a sound clip of Link from Rhett and Link saying something, and you play it, and then halfway through it, you play it again. Halfway through that one, you play it again.
All right, that is actually really clever. The music we have right now is some Legend of Zelda music.
Except played 5 times?
No, it's just for 5 links. But then at the end, there's a clip from a song where the lead singer counts off and goes, 1, 2, 3, 5. And so that's our 5 links. So anyway, but the whole point of 5 links is I get a random Wikipedia page, and that starts off as my first link. And then from that page, I have to find something on it that catches my interest, and I link through to that page. And then I just follow my chain until I have 5 of them. So what I started off with this week was the random page was Lake Rousseau / Arthur Lee Baywater Aerodrome. Aerodrome is apparently Canadian for airport. And this is a page about the Lake Rousseau Airport. And it turns out it's just a stub. So this is the first time I've hit a stub as my opening page. So there was no information on it other than the Lake Rousseau Aerodrome is an airport in Ontario, Canada, serving the Lake Rousseau area. That's about it. So I just linked to Ontario. So that'll be my page number 2. And Ontario, most populous of Canada's 13 provinces, contains the nation's capital, Ottawa, as well as Toronto, which is the largest city in Canada. The Toronto metro area has about 6 million people in it, so which is a lot for Canada. And so it's Ontario. I wasn't terribly surprised about anything on Ontario. And in the history of Ontario, I almost clicked on the Beaver Wars, because Beaver Wars sounds really funny to me.
I'm just betting it's the Beaver version of the Emu Wars.
Right. Oh God, see, that would be great, like the Emu Wars from Australia, or was that New Zealand?
Australia.
Australia's Emu Wars.
Speaking of the Emu Wars, there was a picture out there that showed that said what the colors of the Australian flag represent, and it like showed all the
Yeah.
It listed all the colors in it, and they all explained something very nice, and then and then it had yellow, and it said, winning a war against a bunch of stupid birds.
That's cute. No, it turns out the Beaver Wars, I think it was wars between various Native American tribes with one side being assisted by the French, but I have no idea for sure, because instead of clicking on Beaver Wars, I found out under the demographic section that about a quarter of the population of Ontario are, and this is in quotes here, visible by minorities. So visible minorities, that's intriguing. That I have to check. So under visible minorities, it turns out that this is exactly what you would think it is according to context. Visible minorities is Canadian for people of color. So although, interestingly, visible minorities does not include the First Peoples, which is Canadian for Native American, because apparently the First Peoples, or Aborigines, as they're Aborigines, or anyway, as they were sometimes referred to in this article, they're a special category that have separate consideration. But you know, essentially, visible minorities, people of color. And at first, I thought that sounds a little
iffy.
Yeah, doesn't that sound a little weird? Visible minorities, as in literally, they chose that word because that means there is visibly something different about them that separates them, as opposed to invisible minorities, like being belonging to a particular minority religion. You know, being Jewish is not something that is instantly visible to most people, or you know, other things that are by choice. So these are visible minorities. But then I thought, well, yeah, but is it any different than people of color? Like, literally, we're saying that, oh, yeah, people of color means that they're in a category because of the color of their skin. There are some differences, because in the U.S., for the most part, we don't normally say people of color for a lot of Middle Eastern Hasidic peoples, because they are, for the most part, pale of complexion. They appear very Caucasian, and so therefore we don't usually refer to them as people of color in the States, but they do count as visible minorities in Canada, which I'm like then asking myself, well, okay, so what exactly is visible about them that makes it so obvious? I don't. But again, it's all terminology, and everything's going to be problematic in some way, but I found it interesting. So, okay, now from visible minorities, that was my number three, I found a link there for Black Nova Scotians, and I'm like, wondering why are Black people in Nova Scotia deserving of a particular separate category that makes them different from Black people in general or Black Canadians in general? And it turns out that Black Nova Scotians, slavery was outlawed in Canada sometime during the 1700s, not through any sweeping law or big, you know, proclamation like we did, nothing like that, but just the accumulated decisions of various judges, which kept in line with the same kinds of decisions being made in Mother England at the time, just basically made slavery illegal in Canada. Okay, great. So lots of escaped slaves from the States migrated to Canada, especially after the War of 1812. As of a few decades ago, 37% of Canada's Black population were Black Nova Scotians, actually descended from escaped slaves. Nova Scotia, as you went up through north through the northern states, New England, you wound up in Nova Scotia a lot. And so so they had Black Nova Scotians specifically means Black people descended from escaped slaves from the U.S. And there's a lot of them up there in Nova Scotia who are now, you know, fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth generation Black Nova Scotian. Now, I say as of a few decades ago, it was 37% of all Black people in Canada were Black Nova Scotians. So, fascinating. All right. But now, from Black Nova Scotians, I then find a link to the Africville Apology, which just takes me to the Wikipedia page for Africville. And holy hell. Africville was a Black community that was part of Richmond on the north end of Halifax, Nova Scotia. All right, so it was touted along with a couple others as one of the first free Black communities outside of Africa. That was their big claim to fame. They were very proud of that. The name did not come from the fact that it was a bunch of Africans in an area. I mean, it was not a separate town. It was just, again, part of Halifax, part of Richmond. It was just part of the metro area there. And there was an elderly resident, an old woman, who lived in Africville, and or had lived in Africville. And she was quoted in, I assume, a newspaper somewhere, but she was quoted at one point of saying, it wasn't Africville out there. None of the people came from Africa. It was just part of Richmond, just the part of Richmond where the colored folks lived. That was the quote. And so she said, it's not Africville. They're not from Africa. But the name stuck. And so everyone started referring to that part of the city, the black community, as Africville. And so even though it's part of Halifax, through the years, they were never given proper roads, health services. When the rest of the city got water or electricity running to their houses, Africville did not. They didn't get their first school until 1883, even though the town had been founded in the early 1800s. It wasn't until 50 years after that that they actually qualified to get teachers who were actually trained educators. Before that, it was just, I don't know, whoever wants to be a teacher, go for it. And so because it was a black community, because it was a poor community, they weren't poor because they were black. They were, here's the way the city treated them is that, everything that came up that we didn't, we needed a place for it, but, nobody wants it in their neighborhood. We put it in Africville because they had they did not have voting power. Most of the stuff unanimously got stuck into Africville. And so, the early 1850s, two railways put their main intersections and switching yards right there next to Africville. So they had trains running directly through the middle of their community constantly. In 1853, Halifax decided that its new prison would be constructed in Africville. In 1858, Halifax decided to place its garbage dump and landfill in Africville. By 1870, they were building the infectious disease hospital there, and then the slaughterhouse, and then all of that isn't insulting enough. They actually had to go and build a fecal waste storage facility. Literally, we're just giving you all our shit. So, it's just grotesque, really. And so, because of that, it depressed the area. I mean, they didn't have proper utilities. They didn't get support from the city, and it helped keep the community poor. And most of the men there worked as either shipping hands or worked in the train yards. Most of the women worked as domestic help. And then in the 1940s and 50s, so we're up to last century. In the 1940s and 50s, there was a lot of talk throughout Canada of urban renewal. And that wasn't just in Canada, but in Canada there was. And the whole idea of urban renewal was to tear down the rundown and less productive parts of the major cities and replace them with more profitable land uses. And so after much discussion, in 1961, Halifax had a concrete plan to start plowing down Africville and start replacing it with other better things, whatever. Because of the nature of the area, they had come from freed slaves. They had just settled there. Most of the property was just handed down through families over the years. Most residents there didn't have anything official saying that they actually owned their land. There were no titles for any of the properties. No clear title for any of these particular people. I mean, no one officially owned it. They just didn't have paperwork on it. If you couldn't prove that you owned your property, the government seized it, evicted you, gave you $500 to relocate, done and done. And even for the ones that could prove that they owned their property, it was still, they did not receive fair market value for it. So there's this image of the city coming in to relocate all of these people from Africville over, and it took years. I mean, they came in repeatedly. Plowing down what they could, moving the residents out to government-sponsored housing projects that were scattered about. So now they're no longer kept together as a community. They're put in all sorts of different places around the province. And to help them relocate, they just brought in the city's dump trucks and just loaded people and property into dump trucks to haul it somewhere else, like treating them like refuse. Literally the images of it are just chilling. It was a bad time. And so, in fact, Africville's only church got plowed under in 1967. And then a year later in 1968, the government actually purchased the land and officially owned it. And so that means that they plowed it under before anyone had any right to do that. It wasn't their property. And then someone went back and backdated the bill of sale to make it look like they had purchased it ahead of time, but it was such an obvious forgery that there was a huge scandal about it. Ultimately, the result of this is in 1970, 71, I'm alive during this portion of it, the last of the buildings in Africville were taken down. And since then, not a whole lot has been done. Their urban renewal did not amount to a whole lot. It was a lot of it was just a reason to start getting rid of poor communities. And you know, some of it is yes, directly racist, and some of it is indirectly racist. But there has been all sorts of investigation, lots of stuff written about the destruction of Africville. And so in 2010, after years of looking into this, the city of Halifax, in an agreement with the federal government of Canada, has come up with the Africville Apology. And that's the link that sent me here. And so this is an official effort to compensate the families of those who were evicted from Africville. I don't know if there are any of the evicted residents who are still alive today. I mean, you would think that there should be, but who knows? Someone knows. It's just not me because I didn't see it in my reading of the Wikipedia page. That's all. But they are working to make restitution to those families for what was done to them during those years. So just fascinating, a fascinating history. And you know what? Here's the sad part is that I've been wanting to do some history of Halifax. Because, you know, after we visited Halifax last summer and we had so much fun there and there were so many interesting things about it. And there's some history bits that I've wanted to do and I've never actually got to them. And instead of doing any of those that are way less depressing than this, yeah, this is the first history bit I do for Halifax, is stumbling across this racist legacy of the city. You know, hey, don't hold this against Halifax. I mean, they're... I'm sure no more or less racist than anyone else in this continent. So we're none of us innocent here. But anywho, that was Africville. That was my five links. And now it's time to move on. What we got next? Oh, holy cow. That's the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. So now it's time for the... Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, we bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear us haver on about something? You send your question or topic to us by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and we'll add it to our master list. And then the very best stuff. No, that's the beginning. Darn it. Because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Oh, I mixed up my lines there. 46. I'm sure this is going to be a question for Noah. Let's find out.
Probably not, because I'm never on the show.
You know what? You would be surprised. It's going to be a full-on Noah question, no matter what it is.
How many questions are there like that in this?
Here we go. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says... Inside the NPR studio, question number 15. James Lipton has just kidnapped your wife. Yeah, this must be for you. You have a wife, right?
Yeah.
James Lipton has just kidnapped your wife and given you instructions on how to deliver a ransom of $722 and a handy. Oh, please. Seriously, Kyle, that's how you're going to talk to my son? He's 13, man. That is terrible of you. You should be ashamed of yourself. He specifically instructs you not to call the police. Do you? And by do you, I mean, do you call the police, not do you give him a handy? All right. So James Lipton has kidnapped your wife.
Who's James Lipton?
He's the host of Inside the Actors Studio on PBS. He's a famous interviewer who asks very well-researched and insightful questions. And he's been doing this for many, many years. And he's kidnapped your wife, and he wants $722 from you, plus a very intimate act that you don't want to perform on him. So, therefore, do you call the police?
I call the police, But I specifically state to go to his office, have all the money there, but as soon as he gets there, arrest him.
You think James Lipton hasn't thought of that? Yeah, look, I'm definitely going to agree to his terms and have the money ready, because, you know, it's $722, whatever. But I'm also still calling the police. That's gross. And criminal. And, James Lipton. James Lipton, you should be ashamed of yourself. All right. Next up.
What if James Lipton watches the podcast?
James Lipton, if you do listen to the podcast, I'm sorry. Look, this is just my brother's question. It's all hypothetical. The role was 01, by the way. 01 is from Daz. And Daz says, do you believe in UFOs? Or are they simply black projects with crazy pilots? Do you believe in UFOs?
No.
Okay. What do you think they are?
I think any UFO sighting could be fake, or just some people have been taking Mario's mushrooms way too often.
See, I think you're absolutely right. If I don't know if his volume came in on that one, but yeah, he's blaming it on Mario mushrooms.
No. It's either they're fake or they pull a Mario and eat way too many mushrooms.
Right. All right, first off, technically I believe in UFOs. Because a UFO is an unidentified flying object. Do I believe that there are flying objects that are unidentified?
Yes.
Yes.
I actually believe that, but I don't...
Sure. But do I believe that they're aliens? No.
I don't believe an alien would be flying around on a dinner plate, okay?
Right. So, no, I do not believe that anyone on Earth has ever spotted an alien buzzing our planet. I don't believe we have been visited by aliens. I don't think any of this has any basis in reality. Do I believe that there's extraterrestrial life somewhere out there in the galaxy
or
in the universe? Sure, of course there is. But do I think they've come here and visited us? That's a bit of a stretch. 48.
And 48 comes from...
I'm very predictable, aren't I? All right, 48 is from Mrs. Darks. Oh, answered before. Do you doodle in meetings? Do you doodle? Like during a boring class?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Your teachers at parent-teacher conferences, especially in elementary school, often mentioned how you'd rather be drawing than listening. Although, to their surprise, you're usually also listening.
Yeah.
But looking like you're not listening is considered disrespectful, even though it's a little ADHD. I mean, that's all. But you were listening, just also drawing at the same time.
Teachers are like, Noah, quit spacing off. And I'm like, I'm not spacing off. And they're like, all right, where are... All right, can you read the next paragraph? I read it aloud, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, see? Exactly. I used to doodle a lot in boring classes and boring meetings, like constantly, because otherwise I can't focus. I just can't. But I have worked really hard recently. I don't have a whole lot of meetings anymore. I just don't do that. But when I do have meetings, I work very hard to not only pay attention, but look like I'm paying attention as much as humanly possible, because it's just respectful, and that's how I want people to view me. The last meeting I had, I've decided I'm not taking notes on paper anymore because I just lose them. So instead, I have my phone, and when something relevant comes up, I type it into my phone. I have a note application open, and I just keep track of it all there. And at the end of it, Yancey, being a complete dick, calls me out and he goes, well, geez, you know, if Mike could have stopped texting for a minute during the meeting. I'm like, you son of a bitch. How dare you? I didn't actually use those words, but that was the thought in my head. Because, darn it, I'm like, I was taking notes. I'm not wasting paper on a meeting. I'm taking notes on my phone. You shut up. Which, he, by the way, knew that. He just likes to cause trouble. Yancey's like that.
Yeah, I would expect no less from him.
07. 07 is from Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ronster says, recently, American football has taken a hit for various reasons. What would you like to see in its place, not just on TV, but in American society? I don't know that I want to see football disappear and have something take its place.
I know what I would want to have to replace football with.
What?
Ball foot. It's pretty much everywhere else is football. Uh-huh. Except someone's severed foot is the ball.
Oh, you're gruesome, man.
I mean, it would be more interesting to watch.
What's the name of the sport that they play in the pen at
Gaga Ball?
Gaga Ball. See, now that would be. Imagine if we had professional teams for that.
Oh my goodness, I would watch that.
Right? Wouldn't Gaga Ball be awesome? Yes. You know what? I say we replace it with the World's Strongest Man competitions. So we get people out there doing caber tossing and stone lifting and, you know, truck pulling and this kind of stuff. I always find those fascinating. But you know what? I think football in general holds too much importance in American society. The idea that we spend that much money on football annually, that it takes up so much of the oxygen in the room, that football is that important to the educational system. It seems weird to me. But on the other hand, you know, am I going to go out and dictate to fans that you're not allowed to pay this much for a ticket? You're not allowed to go spend all this money? I mean, like, you know, there's a demand there, so therefore there's people filling that. So I'm not looking to get rid of football, but if we had to get rid of it and replace it with something, I mean, you know, drama competitions would be cool. Well, now, the drama competitions are awesome when it's my kids performing, but there are also lots of people who suck, too. So, oof, that's a rough one. I don't know. I'm sure I could come up with something, but I'm not being very funny or creative right now, so we're just going to keep moving on. And this one is 32. 32 comes from... Let's see. Aha! It comes from Ronster again. Hey, Ron. What? Oh, nope. We've done this one before. And I gave a long, involved answer on it the last time, so I'm not going to do that one. So we're going to roll again and get 73. And 73, oh good, is also still from Ronster, so he's not getting cheated here. This one says, a popular topic is that your present body's birthmarks indicate the injury you suffered in a past life. Oh, this is great. This is so good. Yet Kyle is already laughing as he listens, I can tell. So using this idea as the basis, how would you surmise your death came about in your past life? Here's the thing. I was captured, hung up by my ankles, and then someone shot me, and it wound up shooting me square in the ass. So,
according
to my birthmarks. So,
according to.
So, my birthmarks are. I have one very light one on one ankle, so maybe they didn't hang me. Maybe as I was running, that's probably better. I got shot in the butt, so I'm shot in the back. So I'm running away from my pursuer, and I wind up tripping and falling. I stumble, and it catches my
hole and a giant pole sticking up in the bottom.
And so no! It's much more noble than that. So I wind up breaking my ankle. And then as I'm trying to drag myself away, the guy shoots me in the ass and I die. I have a light birthmark on my ankle, but I have a really big birthmark right in the center of one ass cheek. So that's clearly how I went down. My wife is suggesting that I fell in a pit trap and landed on my ass on a sharpened stake at the bottom. But I'm pretty sure she's wrong. That seems so ignoble. That is so... Yeah. No, I would. I don't know. That one bothers me. I would much rather be shot in the butt. I'm thinking if I have to have a pick a death for my past life, that's the one. So no,
No, she's being naughty over there. 12. This will be our last one. 12 is from... It's from Ron again. Trifecta. Ron says, have you ever noticed that the state patrol cars are looking ever more increasingly like something out of a Mad Max movie? Yes. Yes, I find it super disturbing that our patrol cars, police uniforms and equipment in general, keep looking darker and more militaristic. It's like, I mean, yes. Yes, you know, the hardware is necessary in some cases that, you know, you have to protect people. You have to find ways to go after certain criminals. But in general, you know, protect and serve doesn't mean the Punisher logo on your vehicle. I mean, the minute you start putting a skull on your SWAT team, on the insignia, you got to start questioning who you are. I mean, there's a very famous comedy skit that I've seen online a million times. People have linked to it where it's two Nazi SS officers standing around going, I don't know, dude. Do you think we're the bad guys? But, no, come on. Don't be silly. Us, the bad guys? Well, I mean, you know, we are wearing skulls. Oh, God, you might have a point. It's that kind of thing that, you know, look, I have all sorts of respect for our military and our police, but I think when we start branding ourselves with skulls when we're supposed to be out there protecting, I feel like it's sending the wrong message. I think someone in PR needs to do a better job of that. That's where I go with it. So, anyway, got anything else?
No.
Oh,
God, 33.
I assumed I was safe from that since Aiden's not here. God, you're a butt. I'm taking this away from you. I'm turning it off, and I'm putting it way over there. 33 comes from Kyle. All right, we can end on Kyle. Kyle says, you get one medium wondrous item from D&D 3.5. See chart here. And there's a link. Which one would you pick? All right, if I had to get a medium wondrous item, I would pick, I'm not even going to look at the list because I already know. Figurine of Wondrous Power. All right. I love the Figurines of Wondrous Power. Give me the Griffin, the Ivory Goats. I mean, come on, you get a little miniature you keep in your pocket, and then when you throw it out on the ground and say the command, oh, wait, it's just like having Pokemon, isn't it? Oh, man. All right, better yet, give me something that'll make me fly. I will take the Winged Boots. I will take the Wings of Flying. I will take a Carpet of Flying. I don't care. I don't care if I have to use a stupid carpet and look like an idiot. I'll still do that. All right. Well, all right, hold on. Wait. None of those. You know what? I just remembered the portable hole. Dude, just like out of a Looney Tunes cartoon, you just throw that sucker against the wall, you've got a hole into the next room. You drop it on the floor, you've got a pit full of stuff now. Because you can keep things in there like a bag of holding. Portable hole. Portable hole is absolutely the way I'm going to go. And now this is where I'm going to claim that... it's my wife. My wife came over and stole R2 out from under me.
All right, Mom will not steal R2 anymore. Oh, gosh dang it, my phone died. I had a random number generator of 8. From 1 to 100, and I was getting the R2-D2 screen.
Good, then I'm glad you can't learn to charge your phone. The one that Lisa rolled is 81, which is 3 to the 4th power. 81 is from Walrus. Nobody ever goes Walrus. So, this one is Opinion. Congregate. Congregate.com. Is it worth it? If you play, what do you play? Have we done this one before? Because I've never heard of Congregate. And if we have done it before, I don't remember looking it up and what I talked about. So hang on a second. All right, I looked it up. And apparently, it's a warning that says, sorry, Congregate.com is not available because it is categorized as mature games. See, this is what happens when I record at school. The filter will stop me from doing anything fun.
I'm pretty sure
fun.
It's like really, really rude games.
You think so?
Yeah, like...
That doesn't sound like Walrus at all.
Like, I'm pretty sure there's a game on there called
Oh, you're pretty sure, are you?
E-F-F-I-N-G worm. And it's about a giant worm that goes around destroying an entire city.
Huh. All right, hold on. Congregate.com. Let me try. Play free games online. Here's the mobile version of it. Let's see what that tells me. Yeah, try. You can't block my phone. Animation. Okay, yeah, it's a bunch of web-based games. So, no, never been there, never tried. But you know what? I'm always open for new things. So, hey, that's it. We're all done here. Nope. While I appreciate your R2 impression because it's really good, it's not going to work. We got to turn this over to GLaDOS, and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Nerd Bride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, did I have any? Oh, yes, I did. She Blinded Me With Science is performed by William Shatner. And, whatever the link music is. Why do I not have it here? Oh, shoot. It's whoever's responsible for the Zelda music. And then, I can't remember where I got any of it from. All right, well, those are going to have to go uncredited. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible host. I will look that up and make sure it goes in the credits for next time. All the songs I use are available on iTunes, though, if you could figure out the names of them. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use. We're now available on Google Play, Stitcher. I think Spotify is coming up shortly. So I finally got off my lazy butt and started applying to some of the other places and whatever their conditions are. One of them blocked me because my logo is too small. So 600 by 600 is too small. They want it preferably 1200 by 1200. So I'm going to have to double the size of my logo. I don't know why my wife is laughing so hard over there. It's not funny. A small logo is something a lot of men have to deal with. So, oh yeah, now you get it.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with a small logo.
Oh, I have been shamed. So, anyway, you want to do something super nice for this podcast, though? Recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me. And that seems to be mostly it for right now. Technically, Bicoastal Disorder, but they've been a little while. So we'll see them, I'm sure, rise from the ashes like a phoenix any day now. But for the moment, you know, still part of the network. Quality Nerd Podcasting from Quality Nerds. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. Except this week, I'm not doing Listener Betrayal this week. So, yeah, mean of me. I don't know. I just felt like not doing it this week. I came up with a really great plan that I could, like, alternate out. And that some weeks I'd do Listener Betrayal, and some weeks I had this thing that I was going to do, and I can't remember what it was at all because I forgot to write it down. And that's just how my brain works. But it was a really great idea. You guys would have been floored. It would have been awesome, and now it's gone. Let's see. Watch out for Listener Betrayal. Oh, and if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information is mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some social medias. But to be completely honest, seriously, the very best way to talk to me, come over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a private message, we will hang out together, and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. All right, well, this is the post-credits material that is not Listener Betrayal. I don't know. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No.
Wow, all right. The only other thing I got is Godball talk. I suppose I could put this in the gaming section. I didn't even think of it until just now, though, because I'm waiting for someone to call me. But we sent out some feelers, and we were talking to somebody who we're going to have do some artwork for our board game. Me and my friend Dave are designing a board game called Godball, and we wanted to get some new artwork, and so we've got somebody who has put together some sketches for us. And I just got the sketches today, and oh my god, they look spectacular! Oh wow, it's all six of the main heroes for the game. So Hercules and Helen of Troy and Sparta and Perseus, and they're all in there, and they look so good. I am so happy with our artwork. I mean, I just can't even tell you. So, I mean, I am telling you, but I don't know that I can convey the excitement that I felt looking at them. It was just, it brought tears to my eyes. I was so happy because it's just cool. Just so cool. So, I'm looking forward to it. Godball is shaping up the way we want it to. We're hoping to have everything ready for Gen Con to be able to do some really cool playtests with some really cool prototype games and be able to share and push further with this game. So it is super, super cool. So anyway, that is the end of our show for this week. And I appreciate you guys showing up. I appreciate you hanging out with me. Noah, thank you so much for being here. You have not been terribly talkative, but
yeah.
When you have talked, you've been pretty darn funny and entertaining, I appreciate the crap out of. See? Yeah. See, your losing streak is over. You're back, baby. You're ready to go. So, you guys are wonderful. I'll see you next week. Bye.